When one looks at the scripture, especially in St. John, you find out soon that most of John is the Lord's Supper. However, the Lord's Supper in John is missing. He's at the Passover meal, but he doesn't go through as Matthew, Mark, and Luke with the Lord's Supper of the bread and the wine. Many who have looked at the gospel would say the Lord's Supper story is in the passage in John 6 with the miracle of the loaves. And Jesus finishes that miracle in John chapter 6 with these statements that we have heard. And if you look in John chapter 6, you notice in verse 66, as a result of Jesus saying, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood," it says, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." And in contemplating why that message was so heavy upon many of the disciples, is that they recognized immediately, for a man to say this was not something of the world. This was beyond. In fact, probably that he was not balanced as an individual. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "The life is in the blood." And from then on, blood was highly regarded and respected. It was through the blood that we as sinners would be released from the guilt, and the guilt would be placed on the animal that represented us, transferred into the holy place and the most holy place through the blood. And from then on, the Jews held blood to be very sacred. It was life. So much so that kosher laws developed. The Jews did not even eat an egg in which there was any sort of evidence that there was blood in that egg. Highly regarded. And so when a Jew who was born of all places in Nazareth comes down to Jerusalem, or even speaks words in this manner that we have read together in our scripture reading, saying that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Even today, when I think of the African tribe that Daylene was fairly close to, when they would actually drink animal blood for their nutrients, I don't look forward to dinner at that thought, to drink blood. And with the context of the Jews, can you just imagine with your mind having a person that had just performed one of the most incredible miracles? So much so that Jesus had to say, "Are you following me because of what I just did?" Later on, he has to say that. For the loaves and the fishes. And so for him to make this speech, he is on purpose, I believe, projecting them away from the earth, away from the manna that Moses gave, that only provided and sustained our mortal life, to a life that is way beyond most of those who were in the crowd. And so that gives pause for us today as well, doesn't it? How are we perceiving this purpose that we are here on earth? Is our purpose to survive in the sense of our mortal life? Or are we using opportunities to project through the Holy Spirit's power into the heavenly purpose, the connection, the calling, the predestination that God has given you to be part of his kingdom. In contemplating this special week, I had the opportunity to contrast the reading of Matthew's Passion with most of the parts in John that speak of this experience of the Passion Week. One of the high points of the Passion Week experience in John is when Jesus shocks the disciples, in which he touches his students' feet. Some of you are aware in the Middle East that the foot is the part of the body that is the most distasteful. We don't come with that baggage necessarily in the Western world, but it's still, I believe, is still intact in some parts of Asia and maybe in the Middle East. John Dibdall tells the story that has been famous in my mind is when he went in Thailand to a court, and he was using his typical stance in which Larry is demonstrating it right now. Everybody look at Larry. He was in the court of law and doing what Larry is doing, and the judge said, "Put your foot down. You should not expose the bottom of your feet." And that was the same cultural taboo that was happening. And for Jesus, the master, the rabbi, the one that's in charge, to actually highlight the foot by bending down and washing his students' feet. So between John 6 of our scripture reading and John 13, he is deliberately causing a huge paradigm shift among not only the outliers, so to speak, but his inner circle as well. In reading John chapter 13, if you have an opportunity to glance through that, especially if you have never been part of a washing of one another's feet where you touch another person. Imagine that. And you touch their feet. Reading the story of a mental health environment in which those that had not said hardly a thing for maybe even years. She said that whenever she washed their feet, they became lucid. There's something that Jesus knew what was going on between the foot and the spiritual part of our brains is highlighted in John 13. Obviously, we don't understand all that's going on. Similar to how I was presented this week on Blue Mountain Television, the story of how a little sea turtle comes out of an egg on the shore and leaves the shore as a little turtle and lives for 25 years, growing and growing and growing and feeding 1,000 miles away from where that shore was, and comes back after 25 years within 2 meters of where they were born. In watching that presentation, I said, maybe I should be spiritually asking the Lord to give me those spiritual magnetic lines of force because the earth is a magnet. And we now know that sea turtles take digital account as they cross the magnetic lines of force of where they were born as they travel 1,000 miles away from that beach. A sea turtle that was just born is able to collect data points in their brains and then return within 2 meters. I was asking the question, I wonder if I should pray for that sensitivity spiritually in my spiritual growth so that I can start to detect those spiritual lines of force that are out there. And I sense that that must be what the new birth is like. The new birth gives us the capacity to know and to appreciate God. I'm not born with that like a sea turtle is. The Spirit has to give that to me. It has to be fed. It has to be fed. To the point where in the Desire of Ages, the author says that even a simple meal is the result of the blood of Christ, of the cross experience. He has given all things to us, and every food parcel, everything that we eat is due to the blood of Christ. May you ask for those spiritual lines of force sensitivity as you witness, as you contemplate the working out of the scripture in the next part of our service, which is John 13, as we touch one another and serve one another as Jesus asked us to. You can participate in whatever level you so desire. At this point in the service, you can observe, meditate, read John 13, contemplate your spiritual lines of force and your data points.